You're listening to a podcast from 702.
And one of the horror cases going on currently, of course, is self-admitted rapist Niccolo Nono's trial. And some weird things happened in that trial, and many of my colleagues have done a good job over the last couple of days to delve into this, but I wanted to directly have a conversation with Dr. Shahida Omar, that I love to bits because she's brilliant and compassionate, who is CEO of the Teddy Bear Clinic, specifically about the victim and the survivor, a little seven-year-old girl that had given an in-camera testimony, which is a bit of Latin that some of you are misunderstanding. It just means that it's actually done behind sort of closed doors, so it's not part of the public aspect of the trial. But the idea of a child of that age actually being asked to be part of the trial, what are the dangers here, and is it inherently wrong, or the circumstances under which it's necessary? The NPA has come under some flack, but they have said that they want to demonstrate that this man's behavior was premeditated, and that his version, although a confession, is actually not the full story. The full story is worse, which is why they needed her testimony. And so it was for the sake of maximum justice that they did this. It's not that they were being callous. So that's their defense. But I always have some uncomfortable feelings here. And when I do, the person that I run to is Dr. Shahida Omar. Dr. Omar, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you, my favorite presenter.
In this particular case, I didn't realize what the justification was, because I followed the case not too much, because it just triggers me as well. And my producer said to me that, no, the NPA, if one wanted to be kind, they were suggesting that although he had confessed, that his confession is actually incomplete and her testimony can make sure that he gets the harshest possible sentence. Is that kind of logic victim-centered? And should a seven-year-old never, ever be asked to testify, or are there conditions under which it may be necessary for justice?
So I think, you know, one thing we need to understand and appreciate that children should be protected at all costs. And we know the Children's Act looks at the best interest of the child, which is of paramount importance. We're looking at the healing and feelings of this child. And the reality is that an adult who has been subjected to this kind of brutality will ask questions. Why me? What did I do wrong? So think of a seven-year-old who has gone through this and now is asked to reenact or repeat maybe not the central event, but the peripheral events surrounding it. It's going back. It's going back and opening that deep, raw wound. Regardless of the fact that she's been prepared for court, she's been assessed and said that she's competent to testify, can one actually measure? Is it something that's tangible and concrete to say, or guaranteed to say, that this child will not be traumatized, that she will not suffer or be subjected to secondary victimization, to further trauma? Because during the proceedings, and we've had experiences with many children in our court, testimonies, where children, the past trauma has evoked a lot of emotions and feelings of helplessness, feelings of powerlessness, and then obviously they have had to undergo further intensive therapy. So the question here is, what was more important? Was it the healing and well-being of the child, or was it to ensure that the criminal justice system needs to nail this perpetrator, regardless of the fact that he had already pleaded guilty to the charge of rape and that there were other witnesses? In many of our cases that we take children through court, we find that there aren't witnesses. There's a single witness who is the child, and there's no other corroborating or supporting evidence. So here we are taking an uncontrollable, unpredictable situation and putting the child through the most grueling process, regardless of the fact that it's behind closed doors with an intermediary who's the go-between. The reality is that going through those questions or responding to it is also could evoke the post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, the avoidance around the subject and being haunted by the images, the flashbacks Absolutely. That the child would suffer. Mm. That's something that one cannot control or guarantee. Mm-hmm. So for me, the most important question here is it about the child or is it about the NPA nailing the perpetrator with a harsh sentence? We need to weigh the two here.
That's word perfect. Does that mean the implications of what you are saying, Dr. Omar, is that on balance, it was probably a mistake?
Indeed, for me, certainly. I do believe that, you know, I'm not pointing fingers at the NPA. They are not therapists. They are not counselors. They do not have the ability to make this kind of decision in terms of the best interest of the child. And even if it, you know, even if they can state that but the child had seen a psychologist and had undergone a competency to testify, once again, if we weigh the probabilities, there's no guarantee about ensuring the emotional security, psychological well-being of the child. And I think that they have failed this child, that we as the system are failing children.
Hmm. It's interesting to me that you say with your familiar generosity that, of course, the NPA is not an institution filled with psychologists, but presumably they ought to be. There has to be, for lack of a better description, an inherently interdisciplinary approach towards this kind of matter when it lands on your desk. You must immediately know when you even contemplate having a seven-year-old testifying in camera that questions about their psychological and their social well-being needs to be raised mm-hmm. and need to be weighed up against some of the other factors. And we've just lost Dr. Omar there, but what I was going to ask her was, you know, ought it not to be the case that it is a matter of standard operating procedure in cases involving children, that there should be some deference in the decision-making process about how to exercise discretion over whether or not to ask a child to be testifying, that what you need to be doing is to consult, and to consult precisely with organizations such as the one where she is the CEO, the Teddy Bear Clinic.
Eusebius Makaiza on 702 for the curious.
Before I lost you, what I was asking Dr. Omar was, should it not be standard? Okay, we've lost her there. I think I will just give up on that one. I don't think we're going to get further with that line not holding there. But